if you've noticed, we've been talking about the freedom we have. And this is really the central truth of the book of Galatians. You know, the little, underneath the picture there, freedom in the gospel. That's, if you will, the overall message of Galatians. This is the passage where Paul hammers home that freedom. You know, in the United States, we like our freedom. We like our liberty. But we tend to view it very selfishly. Autonomous freedom. That means nobody tells me what to do. I have rights. Well, in a constitutional republic, as Christians, with those rights come responsibilities. Most of you know the episode of after the Constitutional Convention. A lady asked Ben Franklin as he was coming out, "Sir, what kind of government have you given us?" And Ben Franklin said, "A republic, if you can keep it." In other words, the responsibilities of the freedoms we have as Americans. So this book, where we are, the situation, Paul's writing to people in Galatia, primarily Gentiles, and just emphasizing the gospel. It is by faith, promise, grace, all those things, not works, not what these people called Judaizers were claiming, that you have to be circumcised. And we heard that in the reading that Chuck did, and you heard it in a lot of the songs. And folks, I honestly believe this is one of the primary problems of the church today. We don't totally rely on Christ for our righteousness. We somehow think, you know, and that's pride, I believe, that something we have to do to make God love us more. Now, works have their place. We're going to talk about that today. But it has to begin and end by faith in Christ. And so if you were here last time, Paul was using the analogy, an example of Sarah and Hagar, Isaac and Ishmael, comparing the child of the promise versus the child of the slave woman. And the whole point was, who are really the children, men and women, of Abraham? Who are the children of faith? And that comes through the promise of Isaac. And I will confess, I lied last week just to test you. But I said that now Paul's beginning the ethical section of Galatians. Well, with Paul, they're intermixed. So really, he's continuing today a theological foundation that grounds the ethical considerations, the exhortations. You know, you've heard me say this before, but belief determines behavior. Of course, we want to do something, but are we doing based on what we believe? Big-headed, smart theologians like the phrase, the indicative overlaps the imperative. What? The indicative, if you remember your grammar, indicative, the statement of doctrine, of just the who we are in Christ. Indicative leads to the imperative, the commands, the behavior. And Paul is very good at it's not either or. That's why, at least me, I realize I tend to, we have to understand the doctrine before we just start doing. Because once again, are we doing what God really wants? Or are we doing that which makes us look better? So this passage, we're going to look at the first six verses of chapter 5, and the boy is going to read them for us.
I think I walked up here a little early. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love.
Thank you, boy. That's George's son. So verse 1 is really a transitional verses. And most of your the New King James, the King James says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. That's good, stand. But in the original text, it starts off with, for freedom, Christ has made us free. And do not take that yoke, which is bondage. And you know what a yoke is, that animals would, you know, be used to plow or whatever. And then he gives four warnings. Verse 2, indeed, I, Paul, the apostle, but also I'm one of you, he's emphasizing personally. It's me, Paul, that to you, that if you become circumcised, and we'll talk more about that, but the whole representative act of what circumcision is, Christ will profit you nothing. So if you want to get circumcised, which stands for wanting to be right before God by the law, Christ will be of no profit for you. Verse 3, and I testify again to every man that becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. See, this is something the Galatians probably weren't fully aware of, these Jewish legalists that had come down from Jerusalem were saying, oh, you've got to get circumcised. You know, well, we can do that. And Paul's saying, they don't know the scripture very well. Because if you are going to claim that, the whole law comes with that. You've got to keep the whole thing. So Christ profits you nothing. You're depending on yourselves, not Christ. You've got to keep the whole law, which earlier in the book he had said, it is impossible to keep the whole law. And there are Christians today that think, well, I could keep the whole law. And no, you can't. First of all, you don't realize what the purpose of the law was, which Paul had dealt with earlier in chapter 3. But because we are dead in our sins, we are unable to perfectly keep the law apart from God's grace. So Christ profits nothing, debtor to keep the whole law, a debtor. And you have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. What a tragic statement. And then verse 5 is sort of the change of gears. Now he says, for we, through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. So talking about our final glorification is a big Christian word, but when we go to heaven, our final standing before God, where the whole world sees how God has seen us and he has declared us right with him by faith through grace, the death of Christ, and with the indwelling the transformation of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And verse 6, then finally, for in Christ, so it's only in Christ that this happens, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision. So that's, you know, the big presenting issue right now in Galatians. So it's not whether you were or aren't. Those are just physical acts. And so you Gentiles definitely don't need to do that. And quite frankly, the Jews, it's a cultural thing, but even the Jews don't need that. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. So none of that avails anything but faith working through love. So we truly love, we can truly do good works and obey and please God and bring Him the glory only by faith. That is so important for the church today here. So what's the point then? You went through that, sorry. So freedom and bondage. So remember, the Galatians are probably Gentiles. They're in southern Turkey. So freedom from, so they would understand maybe what they were in bondage to, the Anatolian, the Turkey, the pagan religions, and all the requirements of religion, which is man doing something for God. The word comes from a root word meaning to bind. So religion is man working for God. And so all these pagan religions, they were the elements, the bondage to the elements. We looked at one of those words earlier. But some of your translations, do not be entangled or burdened or submit yourself or subject yourselves to that yoke again. Because that is all equated with the law that the Jews had, that the law became a yoke. And we, Chuck read this in Acts 15, verse 10, where Peter says, why do you test God by putting a yoke on the necks, you know, what a picture, of the disciples, which neither our fathers, the children of Israel, the exile, all that stuff, the burden of the law was a burden that neither our fathers nor we are able to bear. So in other words, don't saddle yourself again with that bondage. And a yoke in the Jewish view, they viewed it as liberating. So if you talk to a good conservative Jew today, they will praise the law as actually liberating, you know, because it shows the requirements, the obligations of being a good person before God. But Paul's reminding them that includes all of it, all those strange laws that, you know, we look back today at the Old Testament and wonder, how in the world, you know, what does that matter when whether you pick up sticks on the Sabbath? That's one of the big ten. Honor the Sabbath. And Jesus, we all know the verse where Jesus talks about a yoke in Matthew 11. Take my yoke, Jesus says, upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's a good yoke. So you're free from something. And we know then ultimately, the freedom we can have through the gospel is a freedom from sin. And he's been talking in this section, picking up themes from the first part of the book. Words like justify, righteousness, faith, grace, spirit. So those are the ways, the pathway to being free from sin. And then what are we freed from? You know, we're not Americans. I'm free to, you know, run around with my hair on fire for one. No, we are free for. As Paul says in Romans 6, and having been set free from sin, you have become slaves of righteousness. So in other words, we're no longer under bondage. So now we can be bond servants, but the slaves of Christ and the righteousness, the good works before God. Romans 6:22. But now having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. So freedom from something for something. No longer under bondage to death, sin, the law, false religion. We are free for, now we are free to rightly serve the Master. Then also this picks up on all or nothing. These are the things that you have to bear with me. You have to love me, or at least pretend you do. But in the original text, there's a word play or a play on words where the word, the profit, the benefit, the value conveyed by Christ, a very similar word then is replaced, you know, that value in Christ is being replaced with a debtor or an obligation, same root family. In other words, the whole law again. So that obligation. And in Galatians 3, verse 10 and 11, I'll read those again because we talked about this weeks ago. But talking about, well, Paul says, verse 10, chapter 3, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Okay, so it's not neutral. It's negative and deadly. For it is written from Deuteronomy 27, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them, but that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. So, you know, the law, the obligation of law is really a curse. And Paul is, you know, you guys didn't know that. You know, it sounded like, oh, picking up a few little, you know, we might say Jewish habits or legalistic things in our life. If we are going to look to that as our standing before God, it's a lot more encompassing than just picking up those few things. It's a whole package, all or nothing. James 2 says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. It's all or nothing. And so now that word circumcision, you know, we're in Americans, probably most of the men around, we, you know, that's just cultural in one, and we claim it's for health reasons. In fact, Timothy, remember, Paul allowed Timothy to be circumcised, but that was sort of for cultural reasons. Circumcision was just an act for Paul. So that's why it's, you know, you can take it or leave it. But as a sort of as a code word for this is how I'm right for God, with God, because that was the sign of the Old Testament covenant. If you're circumcised, you're depending on the law now for your justification. That's where it's deadly. So it's Paul's using it in that representative act, picking up the whole package. So for us, all or nothing. Jesus is not prominent in our lives. And unfortunately, in the church today, all of us, Jesus is maybe prominent. But like Colossians says, he is preeminent. Our very lives. And that's mean the just shall live by faith. Not the just, the righteous ones, the same root words, are being good people. No, we are people of faith. And because of that, then the works come. the Dutch prime minister back early in the 1900s, a guy named Abraham Kuyper, has a great quote. There is not a square inch in the whole domain of our human existence over which Christ, who is sovereign over all, does not cry, mine. I like that. And then finally, works and love. So Paul now has started with the indicative, the statement of what freedom, where it comes from. But now, what is it? Freedom from this, freedom for what now? Verse 6, and this is a huge verse in the history of the church. A guy named, you've probably heard of, St. Augustine. Well, he made the famous statement, this reconciles Paul and James. A lot of people say, oh, James and Paul don't get along. You don't know your Bible very well. This is how they are talking about the same thing from two different directions. And this was a big deal during the Reformation. The Reformers had one view as opposed to the Roman Catholic Church that sort of had that, well, you've got to have that love to really have the true faith. And that's exactly reversed with what the Reformers recognized as what Scripture taught. And I forgot to bring my sign, but I've told you about it. Marty, what was Marty Nevelin's last name? Remember Marty Nevelin went back to Florida? Putter? He made me the sign that three putt. He gave me a wood sign that says Dieter, or three putt champion of Teller County. Three putts. But he made me that wooden sign that says faith equals justification plus works. So the faith is what gives us the standing, and then because of that faith, then we also have the good works, the love. Or as the Reformers said, it is faith alone that saves, but that faith is never alone. I like that. So once again, the faith is the umbrella. But under that faith, true faith leads to the love, the works, things like that. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Isn't what David read, English Standard Version, but that's the emphasis is on that freedom and the way that's worded. You are really free, the Greek construction, if you will. You are really free. Are you really free? How will then we use that freedom? We use that freedom for God's glory or for your glory? Our rats, as the Southerners would say, we got rats. We're fighting for our rats. But the freedom we have, those rights, are we going to use them responsibly and ultimately for God's glory? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for our freedom in Christ. Help us to start with that freedom so that we are now free to please you with the loving works, the loving lives that bring you glory and not us. May we not boast in what we are doing and, oh, look at us. But help us always to keep our eyes on Jesus. In his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.